Well, good morning. I hope you're all doing well. We're continuing on in the series on crossing that line, talking about different aspects of salvation. But before we do that this morning, some of you might know that I like comic books, and my favorite comic book character is Spider-Man. And so they're going to put a picture of Spider-Man. This is from issue number 38, right? And this is not a plug for the movie coming out on Friday, but just to let you know. Now, it's interesting. This morning, we're talking about reconciliation. And I found it interesting that, you know, if you're a comic book hero, you have comic book villains, right? I mean, those guys that are your enemies. But it's interesting to note that there's several that were enemies of Spider-Man that became his friends. For instance, the Lizard, right? The Lizard. How scary would like a 6-foot lizard be coming at you? But in comic book canon, the Lizard and Spider-Man became allies. Also, a character by the name of the Prowler. The Prowler had these big claws that he could climb up the side of buildings with, you know, and how cool would that be? But Spider-Man fought the Prowler, but in later issues, they became friends. There's also a guy, maybe not as well known, Rocket Racer. Rocket Racer's the guy with the red and yellow outfit on, okay? I mean, I don't know if, you know, you're a villain and you're known as Rocket Racer. I don't know how scary you would be. But they fought, and eventually, though, they became friends. And lastly, and this is, I've been reading Spider-Man comics for 51 years now, if you can believe that. Because you're thinking, well, that guy started reading before he was born. But that's not true. But there was a character by the name of Humbug. I don't know if you ever heard of Humbug, but Humbug moved from being an enemy of Spider-Man to his friend, okay? I guess maybe because he was Humbug, he needed a friend. But in each case, what Spider-Man and his former enemies experienced was reconciliation, where enemies became friends. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is that according to the Word of God, before we came to Jesus Christ, we were enemies of God. But that moment that we crossed that line and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we became friends of God, and that is called reconciliation, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you're still with me, and that'll be the only time I mention Spider-Man, maybe. But let's open up in prayer, okay? Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're a God who reaches out to us, and Lord, we thank you that you desire a close relationship, Lord, with each of us. So, precious God, in our time this morning, we thank you for this time of worship, Lord. Lord, and we thank you now that in your words you proclaim that we can be friends of God. So, God, touch our hearts, Lord. Draw us close to you this morning, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. In Romans chapter 5, in verses 10 through 11, it says this: For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, there's two forms of that word to reconcile. The first one is the verb form, katalasso, to be reconciled. And that means to change of hostility to a friendly relationship. A change of hostility to a friendly relationship. That when we cross that line and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we go from hostility to God to friendship with God. The noun form is given in verse 11 when it says that we have reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And that is a noun form, katalage, which speaks of a restoration of a broken relationship. Prior to having a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a broken relationship with God. But through Christ, we can be reconciled. And in the website gotquestions.org, it says that to be reconciled is to be restored to friendship and harmony. And that becomes an aspect of salvation. As we've looked at these various aspects of salvation over the series, to be reconciled is a part of the salvation process, that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, that when we are saved, we are reconciled and we enter into a friendship and a harmonious relationship with God. Curtis Omo writes of the doctrine of reconciliation when he says that after a breakdown of relationship between man and God through one's man's sin, resulting in enmity between God and man. And that idea of enmity is that there is a state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. Now, from our perspective, you might look on your life before you had a relationship with Christ, and maybe you think, well, you know, I was never opposed to God. I was never actively, antagonistic to God. But from God's perspective, anyone who does not have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ is His enemy. But the good news of the gospel is this, though, is that we can enter into a relationship with God and become His friend. It goes on in that quote and says that God provides through the sacrifice of His Son the removal of this enmity, making it possible for individuals to recover that relationship through faith in Christ. And so even though this relationship is broken, through Jesus Christ, through being saved through Christ, we can be friends of God. Now we're going to look this morning at various aspects of this reconciliation. And the first one that we're going to look at is number one, is that there is a need for reconciliation for all of us. Everyone has a need to be reconciled to God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, in the New Living Translation this time, it says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies," it's important to note that we were not the ones that reached out to God first, but rather God reached out to us, even though we were enemies. And earlier in that chapter, it talks about while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it is also true that while we were still His enemies, God reached out to us, but we had a need for reconciliation. Now that word, again, that word enemy is a strong word, and it means to oppose or to have hostility towards someone or to even hate. And again, we're looking at God's perspective versus our perspective. And while we were still enemies, Jesus Christ put an end to that hostility the moment that we were saved. In thinking of this need that we all have for reconciliation in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, and there's three things that I want you to notice in this verse. It says, "This includes you who were once far away from God." Our state before Jesus Christ, that we were once far away from God, you were His enemies, and you were separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Once, and this displays our need for reconciliation, is that we were enemies, we were far away from God, and we were separated. And that word separated means to be alienated, to be estranged. It means to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy. And Max Lucado says this, that it is man who creates the distance, it is Jesus who builds the bridge. Man creates the distance, Jesus builds the bridge. And that need, that reconciliation, for reconciliation that we all have, Jesus Christ took care of that. He provided us a way. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with St. Augustine, the great early church leader. He has this famous quote that says, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." As human beings, we are born dead in our trespasses and sin, according to Scripture. It tells us, as we've been reading, that we are enemies of God. And because of that, our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. And Augustine himself was desperate for fulfillment in his life. He enjoyed excessive pleasures, false religions, philosophy, carnal distractions. But there was this moment when he cried out to God, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And it was at that moment that God led him to a passage in the book of Romans that showed him that he could be free from his sins. And after that, he gave his life to Christ and he was baptized. And just a parenthetical note, as I understand it, he had a praying mother that prayed for him for 30 or 35, 40 years. But eventually, Augustine came to faith in Christ and moved from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God. And that is true for everyone, that we have a need for reconciliation. But secondly, number two, though, while we all have this need for reconciliation, number two, there is a source of reconciliation, and that is God Himself. That is God Himself. God Himself is the source of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18, it begins this way where it says that all of this is from God. God takes the initiative in redemption, in making reconciliation possible and restoring a harmonious relationship with God. God is the one that takes the initiative. He is the source of reconciliation. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, where it says, "Even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes." And then at the beginning of verse 5, it says, "God decided." God decided. God made that choice. God took the initiative. Reconciliation is a reality because of God Himself. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay, that verse beautifully demonstrates the heart of God. A God who reaches out, a God who initiates, a God who cares, a God who loves. That's who our God is, and He is the source of this reconciliation. Now, I realize that all sorts of people can have different views of God. Maybe some see Him as distant and aloof. Maybe some see God as harsh and condemning. But I think one of the best images of God that we have is the image of God that we see in the Father in the parable of the prodigal son. In terms of God initiating relationships that are estranged from Him, in this beautiful parable, we see God reaching out. Now, I realize we're familiar with the story about the prodigal son. And you recall that the younger son, in essence, says to the dad, "I wish you were dead." When he asks for that inheritance, he says to his dad, "I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance now. I don't want you in my life." But as you know, the story goes on. The son finds himself in a desperate situation, and he makes this decision to return home. Now, a father in this Middle Eastern culture would have had several options. One would have been he maybe would have been aloof, and maybe not even have allowed the son to come back into the family. Another possibility was that the son could have been beaten to exact justice for the insult that he caused to his father and to the family. But Luke 15:20 tells us that the son got up and went to his father. And in Luke 15:20, it says, "But while he," the son, "was still a long way off, the father saw him, and filled with compassion toward his son, he ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." And literally it is, he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him. The father in this parable demonstrates to us the heart of God. A God who reaches out, a God who initiates, and a God who cares. Now, culturally speaking, it was very undignified for a father in that culture to run. You know, they had the long flowing robe, and that would have forced the dad to lift up the robe and begin to run to the son. But that didn't stop that father, though. That father who loved, that father who wanted reconciliation with his son. That's what he did. And that's what we see the God in the Bible. A God who runs to us, a God who races to us, a God who cares for us, a God who reaches out to us, who initiates that reconciliation. God himself is the source of our reconciliation. It can be said that, yes, we were once enemies of God, but because of God himself, we can be friends with God. And that God is himself is the source of that reconciliation. Amen? Number three. The person of reconciliation is our Lord Jesus Christ. The person of reconciliation himself is our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the first part of verse 19, and let's read this passage together. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Because of Jesus Christ, the unique person of Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ can reconcile a person to God. Now, I strongly believe that we are not to be disrespectful with other religious beliefs. We're not to be antagonistic. That through our lives and through our words that we are to demonstrate the love of God. But we need to hold fast as followers of Christ that Jesus Christ is unique in reconciling the world to God. That salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and there is no other way. And that is not to argue or to tell people they're stupid, but it is to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we cannot have a relationship with God. We cannot be reconciled with God through any other person, through any other means. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, Paul writes, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by the means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Now that's a reference to Gentiles and Jews being part of that same church, but it was Jesus Christ who reconciled both groups. Not somebody else, not another system. It was Jesus Christ himself. And then in Colossians 1:22, it says, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And then as a result, he has brought you into his own presence and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But the reason we can stand before God without a single fault, because we are in Jesus Christ. Right? And we need to hold on to that. We need to hold that line that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it changes us and we receive reconciliation because of Jesus Christ. In the book entitled The Crucifixion by Fleming Rutledge, he writes this. The use of the term the crucifixion for the execution of Jesus shows that it still retains a privileged status. There is something in the death of the man identified as the Son of God that continues to command special attention. There were many thousands of crucifixions in Roman times, but only the crucifixion of Jesus is remembered as having any significance at all, let alone world-transforming significance. The cross of Jesus stands alone in this regard. Because of what Jesus Christ did, you and I can be reconciled to God. We can be a friend of God because of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 11, it says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Why? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Yes. Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And that is wonderful news. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm sure you're all familiar with, or a lot of you are familiar with Bono, the rock group U2. I mean, if you like that sort of thing. But there was an article in a publication called the Vatican Insider, which I don't subscribe to, but it's in the Vatican Insider. But it says, the title of the article is U2's Bono says, Jesus was the Son of God or he was nuts. And so this is the quote. Let me read this to you. He says, I think a defining question for a Christian is, who was Christ? And I don't think you're let off easily by saying a great thinker or a great philosopher, because actually he went around saying he was the Messiah, and that's why he was crucified. He was crucified because he said he was the Son of God. So either, in my view, he was the Son of God or he was nuts. Forget rock and roll messianic complexes. This is like insane type delirium. And I find it hard to accept that a whole millions and millions of lives, half the earth for 2,000 years, have been touched, have felt their lives touched and inspired by some nutter. Right? Now, and you know, you're familiar with C.S. Lewis, right? He had that argument that Jesus is either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is the Lord. And what is presented to us in Scripture, what is presented in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what is presented to you and I in the changed lives throughout these last 2,000 years, it's because of Jesus Christ and who he is, uniquely who he is, and what he did. And that reconciliation with God, friendship with God, is possible because of Jesus Christ. I didn't share this last night, I'll share with you guys, though. One of my favorite moments, I went to the Promise Keepers Pastors Conference back in 96 or 97. And there was this moment where Max Lucado was the speaker. And he said, you know, call out the name of the church or denomination that you're a part of. And, you know, so it's kind of this cacophony of just, rah, rah, Nazareth, bah, you know, just can't understand it. And then he said, now call out the name of your Lord and Savior. And with one voice, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our means of reconciliation. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I can be friends with God. Because of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, the message of reconciliation is the gospel. It's the good news. And that is something, because of Jesus, we have this wonderful, wonderful message. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, the gospel, the good news. In the Quest Study Bible notes, it says, for this passage, it says, ever since sin separated us from God, God has been reestablishing humankind's relationship with him. God sent Jesus to die for our sins, and here's the good news, making it possible for us to be his friends again. And that is great news. That is good news. No longer counting people's sins against them. Reconciliation through Christ is a total removal of that hostility. And that is good news. Not counting our sins against us. That is good news. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse, the second part of 20 and 21, it says that we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now maybe this morning there may be someone here where you have drifted. You haven't walked as closely with God as you should have, that you would like to have walked as closely with. And maybe you've come back, you're kind of on the edges. But that wonderful message, come back to God. Come back to God. The NIV translates this as be reconciled to God. There is always a second chance with God. Amen? And that is good news. Jesus Christ was our substitute, the sinless one, taking our sins upon himself so that we could have a relationship with God, that we could be friends of God. In Romans chapter 5 and the second part of verse 10, it says that we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. And it is true that we are saved through the death of Jesus Christ. It even says that we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. But it is also true that we are saved through his life. And this is a reference to the unending life and ministry of the resurrected Christ for his people. The Lord has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will send my Holy Spirit to you. And because of the life of Jesus Christ, we are saved and we can be a friend of God. And this is the good news, right? We have wonderful news to share with people. I don't know how many basketball fans we have in this room this morning. I'm more of a baseball guy, more of a Dodger guy. But thank you. There we go. We're doing pretty well right now. I'm seeing a game at the end of this month, so hopefully they're still doing good when I go see them. This year the Golden State Warriors won the championship. But last year, I'm going to ignore that. That's okay. But last year, the Cleveland Cavaliers won the championship. You know, they came back pretty dramatically and won. Now, the Cleveland coach's head coach, Tyronn Lue, said this of LeBron James. And if you recall last year, if you like basketball, you know, the Cavaliers came back 3-1. LeBron played amazingly. If you like basketball, but the coach said this though. He says, great things happen to great people. Great things happen to great people. And you know, maybe in the realm of sports that's true. But when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to this good news, the truth is this, is that great things happen to bad people, right? Great things happen to unworthy people, to little people, poor people, and righteous people. People who need a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. Great things happen to those people because of Jesus Christ, right? Right. And that is great news that you and I have, to be able to share, to be able to live out. And because of Jesus Christ, because of this great news, and recognizing that all of us have this need. You know, there is no one in this room is better than anybody else. None of us are better than people that are outside in the world who don't believe in Jesus Christ, because we all have a need for reconciliation. But God himself reached out. He sent his son to die for our sins. And he has given this wonderful message. And because of Jesus Christ, number 5, our last point, is we see the results of reconciliation. The results of reconciliation. We see it in changed lives, the fact that we can be a friend of God, and also the fact that you and I now are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20, it says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, an ambassador is someone who acts as a representative. And because you and I have been reconciled, because you and I have become friends with God, we have an opportunity now to act as God's representative with our life, but also with our words. And it does become an opportunity for you and I to share with others this good news that we have. Now, we have become friends of God, and that is something to share with people. And it's not anything to be embarrassed about or to be afraid with sharing with. I heard somebody say one time that this is something, you know, witnessing, you know, Christians and non-Christians have something in common. They both hate witnessing, right? And it shouldn't be that way, because you and I have a wonderful life-giving message to share with people. We are Christ's ambassadors to be able to share that good news. And I know there's always, you know, that sense of awkwardness. You know, the people that we're closest to, family maybe, you know, those are always seems to be the hardest people to share with. But the reality is this, though, is that if a person does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they are an enemy of God. They are not a friend. And God's heart is that none should perish, but that all should become his friend. That's God's heart. And that is an opportunity, that is a privilege that God has given to you and I. It is also true that that a result of reconciliation is that we can be reconciled with others. And I realize that maybe there's difficult situations in this room. Maybe you've tried, you've done the best you could, and things aren't working out. But I think we see in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's heart for you and I is to be reconciled. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." Bill Hybels, in a leadership article, says that the mark of community, true biblical unity, is not the absence of conflict, but a presence of a reconciling spirit. To have that desire that because I have been reconciled to God, that I have a desire to be reconciled to others. And also in this section, another result is that 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we have become a new person. Other translations say a new creation. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, I talked about this with you a few weeks ago, that we are now children of God. But in John 15:15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." I believe this is a true statement, that I'm a better person today because of the friends I have in my life. You know, whether that is friends from the my college days or seminary, the friends that I have here in this room, I'm a better person. And it is certainly true that I am a better person today because I'm friends with God. Amen? And that is true for you and I too. In an article in Baker's Dictionary of Biblical Theology, they talk about that there's three elements of friendship: association, loyalty, and affection. Association, loyalty, and affection. And we have all three with God because God wants to associate with us. He is loyal to us. And this is always just amazing to me, is that God not only loves us, and that's great, nothing better than that, but God also likes us, and he wants to spend time with us, right? You know, how do we develop our friendship with God? Certainly by spending time with him, and then spending time with people that know and love him, reading his word, praying, coming to church. God, in his word, says, "I have called you friends." What a great privilege is that? Amen? Amen. And that is because of reconciliation. That is because of this particular aspect of salvation, is that you and I can move from a place of having a broken relationship with God to coming into a harmonious relationship with him through Jesus Christ. This past week, I found out that the woman, along with her husband who led me to Christ, had gone home to be with the Lord. Mr. and Mrs. Boyer were the directors of the youth group that I had become a part of when I was 19 years old. And you're thinking, well, if he was reading Spider-Man for 51 years and that was 19, you know. So I'll let you figure out the math. Well, when I first started going to that youth group, I had no peace with God whatsoever. I was quite religious and was doing everything I knew to be right with God. But somehow nothing seemed to work. The church that I belonged to had given me rules to follow, but God seemed far away. And it was through the Boyer's faithful witness that I learned that God loved me and wanted a relationship with me. Because of Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, he had done what was needed for me to be right with God. All I needed to do was to receive the free gift of salvation. So I put my faith in Jesus, asked him to forgive my sins and to come into my life. And I'm thankful for Mrs. Boyer that she was a faithful ambassador for Jesus Christ, who told me about Jesus, that I could have peace with God and become his friend. Amen? Amen. Well, I pray that I pray that each of us here would have a desire to be friends with God. And after the service this morning, there's going to be a prayer team up here in front that would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. And whether it's coming to pray for that first time to ask Jesus into your life, maybe you've been one of those folks that have kind of got distracted and you want to come back to Jesus. And that's the good news, right? To come back to God. And maybe there's other things that are going on in your life. There's health issues, financial, maybe issues of reconciliation with another person. But I would invite you to come up after the service and pray. And to know that God's heart for you is one of love, one of grace, one of mercy. He loves and cares about you. So please don't hold back this morning. I'm going to close in prayer here in just a moment. But please, come forward. We'd love to pray with you. If you're just going to leave, stop in the courtyard. Have some good coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, but, you know, I've heard it's good. So, you know, you can tell me if it is or not, okay? I just want to say this, though, before we finish up, that I thank the Lord for each of you, and I thank the Lord for my church family, and I thank the Lord for the friendship and care that me and my family have received through New Life Community Church. I love you guys, and I realize I don't know, you know, everybody here, but if you ever, you know, see me, you know, don't ignore me, talk to me, you know, and if I don't recognize you, you know, just say, hey, I'm so-and-so from New Life, okay? Okay, so let's stand and let me just send you out with a blessing, okay? Precious Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you for my family. And Lord, I thank you for my friends. I pray, God, that you would empower them through your Spirit, Lord, that they would be faithful witnesses and ambassadors for the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know how desperately our world needs this good news that comes through Christ. Lord, may you fill us and use us, Lord, to get that message out. But Lord, you also recognize that here in this room, Lord, there are those that are hurting and those that are struggling. Lord God, may you draw those close to you, Lord, and may they discover in this time, Lord, how much you care about them, Lord, and that you desire to have a relationship with them. So, Father, help us now to live our lives to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.